for today. If you got your hymnal, open it to 187. And let's praise the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you. We give you all the glory and honor and praise that you have brought all of these people together here today. You brought them here for a purpose. You brought them here, Lord, for your glory. And we pray that you are glorified in this worship we have had today. It has been such a blessing. And I'm thankful that I'm a member of a church where we can celebrate you and just dance with joy, whether it's physically dancing or just letting our spirits dance, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for the joy that you have given us in each other and especially in you. Let this word come into our lives that we can spread that joy through the world who needs you so much, Lord. In your name, Lord Jesus, amen. All right, today, I tell you, Frida, you talked to me Friday night. You said, you know what you're going to preach on. And No, I didn't. Because I don't. That is not how the Lord works with me. When I'm going to preach, I generally don't know a thing until that morning. And, you know, every time I try to prepare something, it just never comes up. And yet, because I'm filling pastor's pulpit, and thank you, Roger, I try to prepare. It just doesn't work. So I had like three different messages that, and then the Lord scrapped it and said, nope, we're going to do something else. And so I had, you know, rinse, wash, rinse, repeat. I prepared another thing. The Lord said, nope, scrap it. And so that happened this morning too. I was going to do sort of an evangelical message and I was going to record it and put it on Facebook. And this morning I checked my phone and I'd had it on the charger all night long. You have 7% power left. Okay, no, we're not going to put it on Facebook. All right. See, don't try to go against God's plan because it just will not work. And so he told me this morning what we're going to be doing. And so I'm going to start with a little story about Forrest Gump. Forrest went to heaven. And, you know, St. Peter was there. And he said, okay, Forrest, you know, we want to welcome you in, but you just got to answer three questions, okay? So, question number one. There are 2 days in the week that start with the letter T. What are they? Forrest thought a moment and he said, well, I reckon that's today and tomorrow. He's like, Peter's like, okay, well, he's not wrong. So we'll have to mark that one pass, correct. Okay, Forrest, second question. How many seconds are in a year? Forrest is like, wow, I'm going to have to think about that. I think, nope, it's 12. Peter was like, what? 12? Yeah, said Forrest. January 2nd, February 2nd, March 2nd, and so on. And so forth. Peter's like, okay, you got me there too. It's not wrong. Okay, now, let's get one. There's only one answer to this one. Now, who is the Son of God? What's his name? Forrest said, oh, I know that one. It's Andy. Andy? Yeah. Andy walks with me. Andy talks with me. Okay, Forrest, just get on in there. And so that is the reason I wanted us to sing in the garden today. It's a wonderful old hymn. And I really believe that some of these old hymns, you know, they are really steeped in the Word. And so I want to explore this particular hymn today. This is why everybody should have a hymnal out. I want to really look at these words. I think the Holy Spirit wants us to look at these words and think about our own walk. You know, our own walk with Andy. So the first line says, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. So this person, the writer of this song, which, by the way, is C. Austin Miles, apparently for him, the early morning is the time that he spent with the Lord. And that, for me, that is the time. I mean, before the sun comes up, it's me and God. And we're just, I'm visiting, I'm basking in his presence. This is something I don't usually talk about. And so I think the Holy Spirit's wanting me to talk about it today. But my time with the Lord is a very private, my relationship with the Lord is a very private, personal thing to me. And, you know, I don't know why the Lord is wanting me to discuss this today, but there's got to be a reason. It may be for one of you. It may be for somebody who will hear this on the MP3 recording someday. I don't know. But I will tell you that my time with the Lord is the most precious thing that I have. My relationship with Jesus is the most precious thing I have. And it is eternal. No one can ever take it away from me. You know, it's not like it's not like what Mel Gibson said in Braveheart. You may take our lives, but you'll never take our freedom. You can. Your freedom can be taken away. And we're seeing it happen. You know, I don't want to get all political, but we're seeing freedoms taken away right now. But there is one thing that can never be taken away from us, and that is Jesus. And so I pray that people within the sound of my voice, they understand that He will never, ever forsake you. He will never, ever leave you. And I hope that you hold that as precious as He holds you. Yeah, He promises us that no one can snatch us out of His hand. And He'll never, ever let us go. And so, while the dew is still on the roses, He hears a voice. The voice I hear falling on my ear. The Son of God discloses. The voice I hear falling on my ear. The Son of God discloses. What is the voice that you hear? Sometimes the voices you hear are not of God. But when you have a relationship with God, He can reveal that to you. He tells us in His Word, test the spirits to see if they are of God. Test the voices to see if they are of God. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes I get a thought that comes in my head and I'm just like, what in the world is that? And that's the key right there, the world. It's in the world. It's not of God. And it's certainly not of me. Because I'm not of the world. I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. I am of my Lord Jesus. And so when those thoughts come in my head, I want to stop and say, what? Hold on. That is not something that God would put in my head. It's certainly not anything I want to think about. And so we do what we're told to do in Corinthians. Or no, maybe it's Ephesians, sorry. I'm going to go to Ephesians. Put on the whole armor of God. When you put on that whole armor of God, there's a helmet there, a helmet of salvation. And that helmet is also there to help you to cast aside those thoughts. But more than that, above all, it says in this word, it says you have the shield of faith. In verse 16, it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So we're able. We are well able. Caleb said it to the children of Israel when they were supposed to go in to the land. He said, we are well able. They said they're grasshoppers. He said, no, God's on our side. We're well able to overcome. This word promises us with the shield of faith, we are well able to overcome any thought that comes into our heads. And we're to cast down those thoughts. We can do that. We can bring into captivity any thought that rises itself against the knowledge of God. That's the quote from Corinthians I was conflating with the Ephesians quote. But anyway, when you have a thought come in your head, and you're thinking, what? That right there is the Lord helping you to disclose what's the source of that. It's not Him. It's not you. And if it's not Him, then it's one of those thoughts that's trying to exalt itself against the knowledge of God, and it needs to be cast down. Because as it says in Ephesians, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against spirits and against powers and principalities and things that try to, again, exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Those things need to be cast down. So the Lord helps us. The Son of God discloses these things. And he walks with me. And he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. I don't know of anything that is more uplifting than that. You are a child of the living God. And he is with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. It promises us in Hebrews. In Revelation, he says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He'll never, ever leave us alone. And there are times, I know, that you feel alone. You feel like you have been left out in the middle of the ocean with not even a raft. You're on, you've got maybe a life preserver you're clinging to. That life preserver is Jesus. He'll never leave you. He'll make it like he did with Peter to walk on the water. His voice calms the storm, not just the physical storms like on the Sea of Galilee, but the storm that's within you. He can calm that storm. Call his name. Remember that he'll never leave you, that he's always with you. That's my prayer for people lately, is that we would be more aware of his presence and that we would feel the glory of his goodness. And I can't... There's another funny story about an old couple who were driving down the road in the pickup truck, you know, and the wife looks at the husband and goes, oh, look at this. We used to sit right next to each other. We used to sit so close, I'd have to shift the gears for you. And look at us, we got this great big space between us now. And the husband looks at the wife and smiles at her and says, I didn't move. You know, that's, I think, the way God is sometimes, that people feel like he's abandoned them, or they feel like he's, you know, taken a left and they've gone right. He's not the one who moved. He's not the one who took off on the wrong path. If we don't feel close to God, it's not his fault. And getting close to him again is as easy as saying the name of Jesus. It's as easy as turning your eyes to Jesus and let the things of this earth go dim. Walk with him. He walks with us. And he talks with us if we let him close that gap. Sit right next to him again. It says, the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. It's not as though you can't feel the same joy in a relationship with the Lord that I have, but it's going to be a different kind of joy. Because you're different than I am. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He'll never change. But we, human beings, with our finite minds and these weak, pitiful bodies, we're different. Each and every one of us is different from the other. So our relationship with that infinite God is going to be different. And the joy is going to be different. And that, I think, is where this line comes from. The joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. You have a completely unique gift. It's a gift that's free to every single human person on this planet. And yet it is different. It's the same. It's the blood of Christ, the salvation that blood has bought, and yet it is different because the purpose of that blood is to bring us into relationship with God once again. Everyone talks about how when they get to heaven, they want to just go kick at him in the shins. I say no. I'm not going to care. At that point, we'll be there. It won't matter. And so all I want to do is just fall down at Jesus' feet and thank him. And I want him to lift me up, and I want to get a hug. And then I just want to go hug my mom. But until that day, I just want to enjoy the relationship that Jesus paid for with his blood. And so I do that in the morning while the dew is still on the roses, before the sun has come up, before the first bird has sung sometimes. I just sit there and I tarry in that peace, that calm delight. And so it says, he speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing. And sometimes that's the way it is, you know, he'll say something in my spirit, and I'm just still. I can't say anything, I can't think, and I'm just there. And it's like, when you were a kid, did you ever just float in a pool and look at the sky, or in the lake, did you just float? It's sort of like that. But you're floating in peace. You're floating and just basking in his presence. And you'd never want to leave. But like Pastor says, you can't stay on the mountaintop. Sometimes you got to go in the valley. And so the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And that's what helps me to walk through the valleys. It helps me to come down off that mountain. I don't want to leave it, but it helps me to come down off that mountain. That knowledge that he walks with me and talks with me. Another song, Along Life's Narrow Way. That helps me to go on. Down the side of the mountain, into the valley, through whatever it is that may come in that valley, and then climb out on the other side and be praising him, you know. He tells us in, Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18 is one of my favorite passages. He says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Rejoice always. Always. And it's not to say that you're out there screaming and hollering and being happy like that, but there's a joy. Joy and happiness are two different things. They're two very, very different emotions. Happiness is fleeting. Here one moment, gone the next. As soon as you blow out the candles on your birthday, that happiness could be gone, you know, just like that flame. But joy is a sustaining thing. You know, as we're told in Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And that will help you go on. The knowledge that he's always with me, that sustains my joy. And that joy sustains me because it's my strength. He is my strength. And so the knowledge that he's always with me, walking with me and talking with me, that leads me on, keeps me going. And so even in those quiet times when I may not hear him, when I may not hear the song, I have the knowledge that he's there. And I'll just say his name. And just saying his name helps. Sometimes that's the quickest prayer you can pray, the shortest, quickest and yet most effective prayer you can pray is Jesus. And I've even had somebody tell me once, I was taking his name in vain. I was like, that's a prayer. That was not me making an exclamation of frustration. That was me making a prayer. There's no vanity in that. Sermon over. No. That one was. That was a very brief one. But that joy again, that we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Because I'm not you, and you're not me. So there's no way you can know that. And no way I can know your joy. But we all have that joy, as long as we allow it. And so, the question is, would you? It says here, I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me is falling. Would you? Would you stay in the garden with him? I think I know the answer to that. I know I would. But he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling. And I think, again, I've probably already gone over this, but we can't stay on that mountaintop. We have to walk out of the garden. We can't walk through the gardens with their beautiful fragrances and beautiful flowers. We can't live in the garden, not yet, because there is a jungle out there. There's a desert out there, and we have to walk through that until we get to that other side, to that place where there is eternal glory, where the garden is verdant and fragrant with wonderful things on that mountaintop. We are to be the salt and the light in that jungle, in that desert, because there's so many people out there lost and blind, and they don't even know it. And it is not up to us to save them. It's up to the Holy Spirit to work in them. But what we are to do is to share the joy we have walking in his presence and hearing what he has to say when he talks with us. It's up to us to share this time that we have in the garden while we are out there walking in that jungle, in that desert, so that maybe, just maybe, somebody else can experience the joy of tarrying in the garden with Andy, with our Lord Jesus. And so, I could do this sort of thing with all different hymns. I did one on a Wednesday night years ago for How Great Thou Art, and I have loved sharing this with you today. It's, again, not something I do often because it's so private and personal to me, but those very private and personal things are the very things I think we need to be sharing with others, so that they know what we have, and they and the Holy Spirit can convict their hearts and put the desire in those hearts for the things that we enjoy now. And we enjoy all things because of Jesus. He, again, freely gives us all things to enjoy. But we can't do that without him. We have no garden to walk in. We have no ability to walk or to hear what he has to say without him. But somebody prayed for us. Somebody shared with us their experience with the Lord. Somebody shared with us their belief in him. And so we should do the same. We don't need to be sharing that there's, you know, commandments and that there's a hell. That's something that needs to be told. But like an atheist told a believer one time, you know what? I would listen more closely to why you believe than why you think I should believe. And so if you just share with people why you believe and what the Lord does in your heart and what he's done in your life, I think we would get a lot more attention from non-believers, and we would get a lot more of that precious time in the garden as we think and reflect on the Lord and what he's done in our lives, in our hearts. And again, and we'd get a whole lot more people walking in this garden with us. And I think that's the whole point. He walked this earth for us so that we can walk in the garden with him. And so let us now go out there and walk in this world to others so that they can walk in the garden with us and with Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we glorify your holy name. We thank you for this word today. I pray it gets in people's hearts, in their minds. I pray that anyone hearing it, whether here today or on the recording, would understand that it's whosoever will. Jesus will walk and talk with anyone who will welcome them into, who will welcome him into their lives. And then their lives can be changed and made better for eternity. Lord, again, be glorified, and I pray you're pleased. In Jesus' name, amen.